On today's episode of Locked On Cubs, we recap the season finale. As predicted on this show, it was a Cubs blowout. We also debate, does Pat Hughes or Steve Stone deserve the Ford Frick Award? And we wrap up with some news and notes around the organization. Join us for the season finale edition.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is it really the end of the regular season? I suppose it is. Welcome back into Locked On Cubs alongside Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Thursday episode, or Friday Eve, as they call it in some parts. We're going to recap that last game, as Sam mentioned, in the open, and a lot more goodness for you as well, including a preview of something pretty cool both of us are doing this weekend. Sam, how was your experience of the last game? And I have to give you a lot of credit. You said it was going to be not only Cubs double digits, but a Cubs convincer, and that's exactly what it was.
I didn't miss one pitch of this baseball game. So, you know what, before we get into the game,
last pitch since March 30th.
You know, before we get into the game, you know, sure. What was so this was the first game that I actually listened to Marquee throughout the whole thing, and there was this part of the game where it was still tight. It was like 3-2 Cubs, bases loaded. Auzelay was on the bump for some lefty on the Reds, and Boog asked JD what his favorite ice cream flavor was.
Oh my gosh!
And so obviously it's not a big deal because the game's meaningless. But then JD kept making like a bit of it. He goes, oh, first and second one out, Boog. Why don't you ask me what my favorite popsicle is or whatever? And I was like, hey, you guys are joking about this, but we did an episode on this, our like third or fourth ever episode as these hoes. And it's not that funny because you do it during important games too.
Yeah, it's actually like it's reality.
Yeah, it's like I was really laughing.
Do you think JD was egging him on?
I think JD, at first I thought JD was like trolling him, but I think he was serious. I can tell you the answer. JD said he's a vanilla guy, but he puts syrup in it. And he
Like breakfast syrup?
Yeah.
What? Yo.
And then he said he likes like maple. Like, what is this, a tree?
Oh my goodness. Get this brother some pancakes.
Anyway, yeah, as far as the game goes, Samson left early, injury, Hap left early. Big swing of the bats from Bodie today. He drove in 5 runs. He actually ended the year with an above average stat line. So we'll see where you know he'll throw his hat in the mix of like 12 guys. We have no idea what their roles will be next year. Right. Franmil hit another home run. Did he pull one homer this year, or are they all to right for the Cubs? I think. Oh, he pulled one at Wrigley.
Yeah, I think it was out of the stadium, right?
Yeah. Just easy opposite field power. Yeah, I mean it wasn't a very close matchup there at all.
Yeah, I was wondering if there was going to be a position player who was going to pitch on either side.
Yeah, but there's no point, right? Because saving anybody for anything.
No, so it would have just been pure theater, It was not that appropriate. Right. Yeah, Bodie got the Cubs on the board first with that 3-run Jackson early.
Yeah.
Reyes was in a big time cold spell, you know, and he had a good like final week. McKinstry,
McKinstry had McKinstry at the 3-run homer to break it open. I didn't mention that.
Yeah, but 15 runs is so much. There was a lot of high scores today, either by both sides or just the one side. And I was disappointed because I had a window where I was watching live, and Samson exited in the third inning with that apparent injury. But nice job by the combo of 5 relievers to go scoreless the rest of the game. You know, I guess I don't think it's going to hit tomorrow when we press record on the show, but I think when we press record on Sunday or Monday, it'll be like, oh wow, there's no games.
Yeah, you know,
so that's going to take some getting used to. But it was a long year. It's baseball,
right? So for me, when they're bad, it's not that big of an adjustment for me,
right?
Because it's like I've been watching. but I've more been watching for the show, so I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When they're bad in September, usually, like, I'll watch if there's nothing else to watch because I love the team. But I'm not, like, super depressed when the season ends because, you know, they weren't good. Like, it's when they're good and then the season ends and they get, like, eliminated from the playoffs or something. That's where it's like, oh, my gosh, I have nothing to do now.
It's tougher then.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into the off season. We have so many fun topics. I was drawing them up today during Shul Temple. Sorry, you know, it's Jewish holiday today. So I was carving up ideas. We're going to talk about so many different things and get, you know, I want people to kind of learn more about us and our perspectives on the team. And I want to learn more about, other people's, ideas and things, you know, like Fran Mil Reyes. I mean, there's an episode on him, you know, if you're going to be a surprisingly good team, the Phillies won 87 games this year, Matt, they were the worst playoff team, right?
Yeah.
So the Cubs have
the sixth seed has 87 wins.
Yeah. So the Cubs have 13 games to make up, right? Suzuki, Horner, Stroman have to stay healthy. There's 3-4 wins right there. Add a Correa type, add a Rodon type. There's three or four more wins, probably even maybe 5 or 6 right there. Talk about the margins. Talk about Ross doing a better job, flipping 3-2 losses into 3-2 wins, better base running. Fran Mil Reyes got thrown out at third today trying to steal. It was a man on second, one out, full count. He's not a fast runner. Those things have to be eliminated, right? So right there, you're already at 84, 85 wins. And then that extra boost to get in the high 80s, low 90s is you need a couple of guys that you don't expect much from to be heroes. And Fran Mil Reyes has that profile. He could hit 37 takes next year in this uniform, but they got to work on some things. And those type of things will be really fun to dig into in the offseason.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll get our shovels out for sure. You know, we'll definitely be doing that. Great breakdown right there, man. That gets me excited. So you're talking about 84 baseball wins right there, huh?
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, I had a couple of people, you know, in the last couple of weeks reach out to me and say, hey, are you just being really excited about next year because you're trying to, you know, make people into the show, or are you serious? Because people, you know I'm fairly pessimistic and I'm fairly, you know, I'm fairly accurate when it comes to this. I said, no, this team's gonna be a good team.
Yeah, no, that gets me.
I would never joke. I would never mislead people ever about this. I'm the opposite of that. I'll come on here if this team's 23-34 and say I was wrong and buy everybody a soda.
No, I have goosebumps right now. And I'll take a McDonald's Coke, by the way.
It's probably because you're wearing an uncomfortable Iowa shirt.
Well, yeah, this is the shirt I wore to work to school today.
It's ugly.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, black and gold. We'll definitely talk about that later. Yeah. So what was the reaction on the over under win total?
Yeah, I was happy. It was a nice little connection. Might get myself a steak or something. you know, like I said, I thought they had no chance of covering it basically up until about 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
And then they closed it out today with a bang, like I expected them to. That was really cool. And, you know, 74 and it's funny, 74 and 88 is about what I thought they were going to be. I thought if things went better, they'd finish in the low 80s if they had a couple more breaks. But if you told me before the year that Kyle Hendricks wasn't going to be a factor, Stroman was going to miss a lot of time, Suzuki was going to miss a lot of time, Horner was going to miss some time, you know, if you told me all this stuff before, yeah, I was probably right around there. So it makes sense. Get it all out now. And everything we do from now on is looking ahead to the future of this next great Cubs ball club.
Yeah, no, really exciting times ahead. You know, I think the last 3 or 4 weeks was fun as a fan. I think we did learn a little bit more. I don't necessarily buy into the momentum play, but I buy into good baseball and I buy into the approach. And if that happened these last 3 weeks and it resulted in wins, great. But the point is that it likely and hopefully did happen. And so for the Horners and the Suzukis and Hap,
Stroman
and Steele and Stroman and Thompson and et cetera, the core, the new core that we might have to start labeling them.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, you know, right. I don't want to get in front of the cart before the horse.
We're going to have an episode comparing this rebuild to the last. And one of my big points as a teaser is that there is no real defined core
right.
with these teams. But that could be a good thing.
Sure.
Because that doesn't put you in the spot where it's like, well, we got to extend Javi. We can't trade Javi. You know what I mean? What right. the Cubs are trying to do right now, teaser alert, we're trying to build a factory where, yeah.
Oh, dang. They're trying to build some stuff, huh?
There's movable pieces, Matt. You know, right. it might not be a, you know, a Javi, Rizzo, Schwarber situation that you just fall in love with for 10 years. It could be a couple different guys. But we're trying to build a factory to where – this team, no matter what, you know, every year is going to be a good baseball team. That's what they're building towards. And yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. We'll wait and see. And wow, a lot of shows in between now and March 30th.
It's probably the best hair day I've had since we've done the program.
We
is there any way you could clip something so I could get this out of my social media? I mean, this is, I don't know what this is. I just took a shower. It looks just outstanding. Go ahead.
Well, the clips happen organically. So, yeah. You know, when I see, I follow my instinct there. So if I think, you know, something's good to clip, I'll work on that.
Okay.
But I might just clip the last 30 seconds just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look nice today.
Yeah. Wow.
And thanks for, you know, on the exactly the 3-month anniversary of taking over this show. I, you know, thanks for waiting 75 shows, but, you know, you had opportunity. You know, we've only done about 75 shows.
Hey, let me get my scorecard out. That's going to be Matt Cozy 3-1 as we head to the 8th.
All right, everybody. So coming up next, a little media discussion. Not really little. It's actually going to be pretty significant. Pat Hughes nominated for the Frick Award. Somehow he has not won that award yet. Somehow he's not the Baseball Hall of Fame. And we're going to match him up with a certain former Cubs broadcaster coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. We have the Bears in action locally this weekend. We have Iowa and Illinois and a lot of football going on.
Illini are 3.5-point favorites in that football game.
Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you could find. About 3.5, huh? 3 in the hook?
Yes, sir.
Wow, wow. And that game's going to be in Champaign. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering info with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. And if I had to place a bet, I would have that Pat Hughes was already a Hall of Famer in this sport. He's not yet, but could be as soon as this winter. And MLB released the 10 finalists for the Ford C. Frick Award today, which is given to those in given for excellence in broadcasting, I think is the phrasing, right. However you want to define that. But Pat Hughes has been excellent his whole career. Shoot, if you didn't get a chance the last week or so just to be in your car or be somewhere near the radio, you're going to have to wait a while for that. I was fortunate to do that today, going between places. And when did you have it? That former Cubs broadcaster and current White Sox TV color analyst Steve Stone is also a nominee, Sam.
Yeah, so I wanted to break this down because I take this stuff fairly seriously. Steve Stone's a great broadcaster, and he knows the game of baseball in and out. Why I don't believe Steve Stone deserves this award, why Pat Hughes does, and of course there's tons of other candidates, but I don't know them well enough, so I don't speak on them.
Right.
Steve Stone is arrogant, and he sometimes gets himself in trouble with that. It's one of the reasons why he didn't announce for the Cubs after, right? I don't know if you're familiar with that story, Matt.
Yeah, 04 was the last season, right?
Yeah, he got involved criticizing the front office and things like that. Yeah, players. And then this year, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, he was very vocal about telling fans how to fan and said that the Sox fans were crazy overreacting in the beginning of the year and then slowly realized that the team's not going anywhere and then started to side with the fans. Pat Hughes doesn't do any of that. Pat Hughes is, first of all, the voice of the Chicago Cubs, with no disrespect to Boog or Marquis, but it's not close, obviously.
Right.
And he lets fans be fans. He respects all fans. He appreciates the game. I just think that Steve Stone knows more about baseball, and obviously so. Steve Stone's a color guy. Pat Hughes is a play-by-play guy. It's two totally different situations. But to me, Pat Hughes is everything, represents everything that's right about announcing a baseball game. When Pat Hughes is announcing, you can't tell if the Cubs are 12 up or 12 out. Yeah. He always acknowledges the fans and what an atmosphere it is and the best fans in sports.
Listen to these fans.
He has this way of describing the game where you feel like you're sitting right next to him. He's been doing it for a really long time. He's a class guy. He doesn't cause problems. He has a phenomenal relationship with his partners. Steve Stone did not have a great relationship with Hawk Harrelson. He's got a great relationship with Benetti, his current partner, but he didn't have a great relationship with Hawk. Pat Hughes had an amazing relationship with Ron Santo. Keith Moreland was only there for a brief time, but he has a great relationship with Ron Coomer. Ron Coomer has said that, like, how awesome it is to work with somebody that you hang out with off the field. It just, by all accounts, he's an all-world guy, and I think he really deserves this award, and I hope he gets it.
Yeah, Pat Hughes should get the award this offseason. He's way more deserving than Steve Stone, who is not only arrogant, but he's a traitor. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, all right.
And
your show, you know that.
Lucky and
I'm just, yeah, pretty, I just, I'm just a pretty face across from you.
I just think that, yeah, it's really a special quality as a broadcaster to show and not tell. You know, we're at the field every time when we listen to Pat Hughes. Mm. You know, Steve Stone, he's calling players out. I you know what? I actually have a pretty good memory of 04. There was a situation on an airplane with him and Chip Carey and Kent Merker.
No, he had some personal issues with Estes. People. Yeah, and Pinella. Remember, Steve Stone and Pinella had a huge...
Wow, that's right.
He wasn't working for the
Cubs. Go ask Steve Stone, Pinella said.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When he was in the dugout pregame, yeah.
That's not your job.
No, and interacting with the fans in that way is just... there's no winners there. No. I don't know why you would initiate and instigate like that. You know, Pat Hughes doesn't even know what the internet is.
Right, that's good.
Yeah, that's probably a reach, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, of course it's a reach.
Yeah, I'm this is an easy one for me, obviously. Yeah, it's probably not a surprise to people listening or watching, but boy, you know, I'm just gonna embrace having Pat Hughes on the broadcast.
Can I tell you
by the way, he's also, as a color analyst, you're limited in making the play-by-play person better, but the other way around, it's the floodgates are open, and Pat Hughes has made Ron Coomer better, and that is a sign of a great broadcaster. As I hit my mic,
amen. And can I say amen? Amen. Can I say something?
Yeah. Is it the show buffering? All right.
When Pat.
Yes,
Hughes,
you can say something. That's why we're here.
When Pat Hughes.
Yeah.
Describes the uniforms.
Yeah.
And or when he says Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air, I feel like God is opening the gates of heaven for me.
Wow.
I feel like I'm on a cloud. Or even this right. Game's about to get started, so crack open a can of White Claw. I mean,
right.
I almost want to pull over and do it.
Right. Absolutely. You're there. 100%. Yes, we'll definitely have potentially a media report card down the line as well.
Spoiler alert, Hughes gets an A.
Yeah. Okay. All right, we got some more news and notes.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
What's my favorite ice cream
flavor?
Spook. Yeah, that's crazy.
Here's an idea. Who cares? I'm not six.
How about we talk about Horner making plays in short right again?
Yeah.
He did that only 10,000 times this year. All right.
Let's talk about Star Wars. Never seen it.
All right. We get into the final part of the show. Boy, is that going to be exciting. We have an announcement to make, and that's going to come up right after this. We're back here on Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day, a Thursday episode. Thanks for joining us whenever and wherever you may be listening. As always, shoot us a text, and we'll put that graphic up on the screen, 312-834-4634. We got a few of those today, so we're going to make a decision here after the show. Should we read those Friday or do another Monday mailbag or something? Also, a lot of YouTube interaction today, so stay with us on there as well. And a lot of reaction to the Contreras episodes. We could always recap some of that fallout as well.
Brennan Davis starting to draw walks in the fall league.
Yes, yeah, and he homered also on Tuesday.
No, I like what
Mervis
I'm seeing.
Mervis and Owen Casey doubled. Boy, does the ball come off their bats a little bit different.
It's a little bit different than Ortega.
A little bit, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, can I say one thing that before we get into the announcement, can I say one quick thing from the game? They posted a graphic during the game today about how the Cubs are 28th in defensive run saves from the center field position, something that you and I have been talking about for about 2 months that they need to address. Got a couple texts. Hey, I saw that support. Listen, go out and get any defensive center fielder that can play. You're talking about 3 or 4 wins right there, even if the guy hits 190. Get somebody.
You think it's 3 or 4 wins?
Yes, because let me tell you something.
Wow, that's a lot.
My analogy for defense in baseball is offensive line play in football. What I mean by that is this. People only notice it when there's a mistake, right? When somebody gets beat or nobody talks about most of the time, hey, this guy's doing his job.
They don't want to notice you.
And sometimes an offensive line play, a guy doesn't get beat, but he makes a mistake. He blocks the wrong guy, and somebody watching at home doesn't realize that they made an error, right? It's the same in baseball. The common person only knows a bad center field play like today when Morel drops a ball that he should have caught. But there's so many – and this is one thing that I do like about analytics, and I'm not a huge analytic guy, but I do support this, is like – defensive run saves and catch probability, because there's some balls in center field that the casual fan will say, hey, there's a base hit to center. No, that ball should have been caught. An above average center fielder makes that catch. Just because it didn't hit his mitt and he didn't drop it doesn't mean that he's playing a good center field. And there's a lot of balls this year that I felt like, hey, that ball in the gap, that ball should have been run down. And the Cubs, it's an easy fix, and the Cubs will make that fix.
Yeah, you know, at our levels, we always try to hype up outfield play as being the forgotten position. You know, the difference makers in games is placed to the outfield. I mean, watch playoff baseball starting this weekend. You know, when the ball's hit on the ground, there's really no drama. But when the ball gets through the infield and a base hit becomes a grounder in the outfield or a fly ball or line drive, those are huge plays. And obviously throwing to the right relay person.
Jason Hayward, Dexter Fowler, Javier Baez, Addison Russell, Anthony Rizzo, stud defensive players.
Yeah, that's true.
Run prevention.
Wow. Boy, was that a good team.
Run prevention. Get it done.
This weekend, our college football teams play each other. That's going to be a 6:30 p.m. Saturday kick in Champaign on the campus of University of Illinois. It's the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Illinois Fighting Illini. And Sam and I are going to be in attendance for this game. That is the announcement. We are going. We're going together, and we're jacked up.
Everybody laughed at me before the year. I told people Illinois was going to be much improved. Here we are.
No one's laughing anymore.
Nobody's laughing anymore.
This might be Illinois' division, the Big Ten West.
Be the first game I've been to since 2007 when they went to the Rose Bowl and got beat in primetime at home against the Wolverines of Michigan.
Wow. So, yeah, this is a major deal for you as a big Illini fan. Big matchup, 6 of the 7 teams.
And I'll tell you this.
The Big Ten West are 1-1.
If I'm having this kind of hair day, I may not come home.
All right. Well, yeah, we're excited to announce that. Wow. Boy, Iowa really needs a win just to stay in the conversation, because they play Ohio State next week and then have a bye the following weekend. But I don't know. Illinois trashed Wisconsin, so I think it might be their division to lose.
Listen, you know what? If Iowa rolls in there and wins a game by 30, but we hoist up the NL Central next year, I'm fine with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
another teaser, by the way, for an episode.
Please. please.
I saw that you saw this. I messaged our group about this. What's more likely, the Cubs, just some food for thought, the Cubs hop the Brewers and hop the Cardinals and win the Central, or the Cubs get jumped by the Pirates and Reds next year? Some food for thought. You know my stance on it.
Something to chew on. We could maybe do a whole show on that.
Speaking of chew, raspberry Built Bar. Man, does that have a lot of taste.
Yeah, it's a good product. Subscribe to YouTube. Turn on the notification bell. And more importantly, tell somebody about this program. We're just getting started, right?
And please listen. I know when baseball ends, right? There's plenty of other, you know, you can watch Fields run for his life and throw for 120 yards. You can hang out with your significant other. I know the Cubs are the farthest thing from your mind between the months of October. Well, not usually October.
I don't think they will be, though.
Can I just finish, please?
Yes, sir.
From October to the year. Still, keep up with us. We'll have some fun. I'll do another giveaway. I know we didn't hit the giveaway. I knew it was a big ask. I mean, I was even thinking about shrinking it to like 15, and we weren't even close to that. I'll do another subscriber giveaway that's much more attainable now that I understand what's a good subscriber count. I'll do something good. Maybe it won't even be a jersey if that's not what people want. Maybe it'll be, tickets or
a bobblehead.
Hey, how about a nice gift card to Chicago Cut? Get a nice steak.
Wow.
You know, hey, listen,
you might get one with the money you got today.
I was gonna say, I just won some money today. I'm feeling generous, my guy.
Absolutely. Okay,
stick with us, enjoy it. DM me. I'm always open to talk Cubs. I have no friends. I have no life. I have no social life. This Saturday night will be the first time I'm out of the house since Obama's first speech in 08.
Oh, that's a good place to wrap up, huh? Also, great fall weather. Roll down the windows, blast the show to full volume.
Yeah, that's going to get the girls excited.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to a Thursday episode. A lot
it is nice weather out.
On a Friday, YouTube and Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods on the audio side. And we're just getting started here. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. This is Locked On Cubs.